The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
God has given us, again, so many talented people. Brother Adams was a song director in churches for over 50 years and has written over 1,000 different songs. And so praise the Lord, he's a member of our church now, does an outstanding job in serving and helping here. In the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Our Lord Jesus here is teaching about the matter of forgiving or the matter of apologizing. And here's what we see. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 12 through 15 that I just read, Jesus is speaking now, and he's trying to show us that there is an example of being able to forgive. There's an example, if you would please, of being able to apologize. In verse 14, you see this, that we are supposed to accept, if you will, an apology. In verse 12, as you back up just a couple of verses prior, you see that we're supposed to forgive, if you will, please, or come to God and apologize, and God will forgive. So we're supposed to, if you will, do the both of asking for an apology or asking, if you will, please, for forgiveness, and we're supposed to give that which is forgiveness. So you're supposed to forgive, but then you're also supposed to be able to enter in, may I say this, in a very careful way, of not just expecting somebody else to forgive, but forgive that person that does have aught against you or that rises up against you. And we're also supposed to expect people to forgive. You know, I think it's the right thing to do for us to forgive others, but it's also a right thing to expect others to forgive as well. And here's a lesson on apologies or forgiveness. One of the biggest problems in doing that is the problem with that which is pride. Sometimes we need to apologize, husband to a wife or a wife to a husband, a leader to a follower to a leader, a child to a parent to a child, a friend to a friend, an employee to a boss to an employee, and apologies are not easily done. Let me give you some reasons why to apologize. Statement number one, we apologize because we are saved. We are saved. We apologize because we are saved. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 25, the Bible says, "For ye were as sheep going astray," the Bible says, "but now," it says, "returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." And so the Bible says there was a time when you and I did not know that we're supposed to apologize or did not know that we were supposed to do things such as this. And by the way, sometimes, I'm telling you again, it is very hard to apologize. Maybe you hurt your wife's feelings, or maybe you hurt your husband's feelings, or maybe things just did not turn out right because you spoke them the wrong way, or you said the wrong words, and because of that, an apology is needed, but it's hard to give. Now, I believe this. I believe we ought to live in the area of trying to keep our relationships as sweet and as right as we possibly can. That's something we ought to work on all the time. We ought to expect Christians to be Christians. We ought to expect that. Now, by the way, if somebody does you wrong and they never apologize for it, then that's okay. That's all right. You still love them. You still forgive them. You still be the Christian that you ought to be. But at the very same time, here's what we understand, that we apologize. Why? Because we're saved. We know the truth. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." All right? So we apologize because we're saved. We apologize because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Over in Psalm 40 and verse 10, the Bible says, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart." Now watch what it says. "I have declared," it says, "thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth from a great generation." All right, so he says, from that great generation, I've not concealed these things. In other words, it is right to be able to do right, even though a present generation does not understand right. A lot of people, they stand up for their rights, but they don't apologize if they step on your rights. Now, wait a minute. We should be a people that is very caring about stepping on somebody else's rights. Have you ever said something, wish you never, never said it? Have you ever done this? Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth before you could get it out? You stuck your other foot in your mouth and your neighbor's too? I mean, and so the Bible is talking here about... thing to do. We're supposed to apologize. Why? Because it helps us to overcome that which is pride. Here's what the Bible says about pride over in the book of Proverbs chapter 13 in verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 23, the Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall behold, it says, the humble in spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 59 and verse 12, it says, for the sin of their mouth, listen to it now, and the words of their lips, let them even be taken, it says, in their pride for the cursing and the lying in which they speak. All right, so the Bible says here that there is that which is the necessity of being able to apologize. One thing, however, that will hold us back from trying to keep a good relationship with somebody else is pride. You ever get mad at somebody so mad that you don't want to speak to them? You ever get so mad at somebody that you give them the silent treatment? You ever get so mad at somebody you walk out of their presence abruptly? You ever get so mad at somebody that and that pride causes you not to speak to them for days on end? All right, and so we ought to apologize. Why? We're saved. We ought to apologize, right thing to do. We ought to apologize because it helps us to overcome pride. We ought to apologize because it helps a relationship to be stronger, and it keeps our church in unity. Amen. Apologize. You sit in somebody's seat, and by the way, there's no names on the seats. Have you figured that one out? But you sit in somebody's seat, and all of a sudden somebody comes up, and the church is growing a little bit, and somebody happens to be sitting in your seat. Don't slap them upside the back of the head and say, get out. Just forget about it and walk on. Find someplace else to sit. Smile that somebody cared enough to be able to come to church. Amen. You don't have to walk out right now. It's okay. Nobody wants your seat. All right, now watch this. All right, so here's what we do. We apologize. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Somebody did want a seat. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, endeavoring to keep, it says, the unity of the Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. So here's what God says. One of the ways to be able to keep the bond of peace is through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God wants unity, not division. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to get together as far as being able to keep it together without division. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I've seen many churches that split, that splinter, that get mad at each other over the tiniest, smallest, most insignificant things. The color of the carpet, the color of the pews, the air condition being set on such a temperature, what type of song is supposed to be sung in what key, and things of that nature. Now, can I say, apologize when it helps to keep the relationship strong, and also when you see it brings unity in the church. Over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, howbeit perceive we love God because... Listen, he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. All right? Now, God said, as we were to lay down our lives for the brother. If he's expecting us to give our lives, certainly we can apologize. So we apologize. Why? Well, because we're saved. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Why? Because it helps us to overcome pride. Why? Because it keeps relationships stronger. Look, can I tell you, we're a church family. You ought not to allow anything come between you and another brother or sister. Okay. Oh, you say, well, they're not where I am. Well, that's okay. That's all right. But, you know, they have shortcomings. Well, that's okay. That's all right. But you don't understand. I just don't get along with them. Well, that's okay. That's all right. It doesn't really matter because of the fact that you ought to decide to try and get along with people. By the way, take the challenge. Take the challenge. Try to get along with somebody that is extremely different than you. I dare you. Find somebody that is just outlandishly different than you and try to become their best friend. You say, I can't do it. Well, yeah, you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. Yeah, there's no marriage that God cannot heal. There's no relationship that God cannot heal. There is no friendship that God cannot heal. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying we ought to apologize. Why? Well, we're saved. God expects us to. We ought to apologize. Why? It's the right thing to do. We ought to apologize. Why? It helps us to overcome pride. We ought to apologize. Why? Because it makes relationships stronger, keeps the church in unity. We ought to apologize. Here we go. Prayerfully. How do you apologize, preacher? You do it prayerfully. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's that Holy Spirit again. The Bible says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here's what he says. We ought to apologize. Everything you do, he says, you ought to do in prayer. So what do? You pray before you apologize to somebody. God, please give me the words. Help me to say the right words. Help me to control my emotions. Help me to do it the right way. And so what do? As you apologize, you pray before you do. Apologize quickly, quickly. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, withhold not good from them whom it is due. So when an apology is due to them, then don't withhold it. The Bible says, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, and I will give you when thou hast it by thee. So he says this, when you got it right there, when you have the opportunity. How many times has this happened when you know you should have apologized, pride built up, and you said, I'll do that later. I'll do that. I'll take care of that later. I've taught over the years, you never run from a problem. You run to a problem. When you're having marriage problems, it's not time to run away from each other, it's time to run to each other. When you're having problems with somebody else, it's not time to run away from it, it is time to run to it. Take care of problems quickly. Now, if you don't, pride will continue to build up. It will it's not my fault they slipped on that soap and they fell in the shower. It's not my fault. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. It's not my fault. They shouldn't have grabbed the wrong toothbrush. It's not my fault. It's not my fault they drove that vehicle and it was on empty. They should have looked down first and not run out of gas. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that I had a nightmare because they talked to me before I went to bed and I kicked them out. It's not my fault. Yeah, and we can go through life all this time. It's not my fault they got upset. It's not the way I said it. It's the way they heard it. It's not my fault. I don't know what their problem is. I looked at them one time and they think I'm mad at them. Why they think I'm mad at them, I don't know. It's not my fault. You know, you would be amazed that people perceive things differently than the way they really are. I would dare say that probably we have a loving church. I would say that. I would say that. I would say we have a caring church. I would say there's nobody that I know of that's out to get somebody else in the church and beat them up. I don't see that. I don't see that somebody wishes ill will to somebody else. I don't see that. But can I tell you, little things will creep in. And if you let, listen to me, friend, if you let one little thing creep in, and then another little thing on top of that, and another little thing on top of that, and another little thing on top of that, before you know it, there's this monster. There is this gigantic mountain. And then you begin to view it differently. All right? So wait. We ought to pop. Relationships make the unity. Sincerely. James chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be also patient, establish your hearts. It says, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. All right, so what do? You apologize sincerely. Do it patiently. Establish your heart. Establish your heart. Let people see you're sincere about it. Let people see that you are an individual that has your heart in apologizing. Make sure that you control your facial actions, your eyes. Make sure that you control your disposition and also your physical position as you apologize. All right? Statement number next. We're supposed to apologize humbly. Humbly. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, it says, that he may exalt you in due time. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to apologize humbly. By the way, somebody said that's the opposite of proudly. So apologize humbly. Has nothing to do with the way you walk, bent over such as, but has everything to do with your demeanor in the way that you do apologize. So I apologize prayerfully. I do it quickly. I do it humbly. I do it sincerely. I do it gently. Gently. Be careful to be gentle with people. You know, some people you can talk to straightforward, and because of their background, their nature, and who they are, no problem. But some people, if you talk to straightforward, I'm honest, they cannot handle it. So you've got to be careful that your words are seasoned with grace. James chapter 1 or James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom of God is in the form above. It says first pure, then that says peaceable, gentle, easy, it says, to be entreated, full of mercy. It says in good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. All right? So God says this. God says that we ought to apologize. How do you do that? Well, you do it gently. Gently. I'm so sorry. By the way, some of you men, I wish you'd listen. Gently. Well, I tell you what, it's not my fault. It's not my fault you didn't get the house clean. It's not my fault. And she said, well, honey, I've been asking you for a month and a half to fix the vacuum cleaner. You know, well, and he said, not my fault, not my fault. I've been busy. And all of a sudden, it's a heated rage. It should never be that way. It should never be that way. You know, and people get so out of sorts over things. You know, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because I'm mad. And then he says, well, I'm not going to talk to you because if you're mad, you're not going to listen to me. Well, that's right. I would never listen to anything that you have to say. Well, in that case, I'm not going to say anything. Then she goes that way, he goes this way, and they don't even talk for months on end. You know, that's hard to have a marriage that way. That's hard to get along that way. So apologize gently. Statement number next, apologize first. You see your husband's countenance drop. You see your wife's countenance drop. You see your friendship countenance drop. Well, what do? Be the first one to apologize. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. It says, for they shall be called the children of God. So what do? Be the first one to apologize. Now, by the way, sometimes when you apologize, here's what happens. When you apologize for something you did as a parent, it opens the window for your children to apologize for something that's much deeper. Sometimes children will take something that you did that is small and insignificant, it blows into a mountain, but when you apologize for that small, what seemingly to an adult is something insignificant, what takes place is that child will apologize for the mountain that is a true mountain. But where does it start? Many times it starts with the person that is the leader, the person that has the authority. What do? Apologize repeatedly. Repeatedly. You don't have to confess your sins before God repeatedly. You come to God, you confess it one time, He forgives it. But with each other, sometimes you've got to do it repeatedly. Honey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Would you please forgive me for that? And then all of a sudden you see that she has not forgiven you. Let me just make sure that everything's good here, you know. I apologize. I know the other day, hurt your feelings. I did not mean to do that. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? Sometimes the emotions go deep. Now, with a man, slap him. Your wives are emotionally strung differently. Treat her like a queen. Well, she don't treat me like no king. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about the way she treats you. We're talking about the way you treat her. Amen. Man, you guys are not amening me tonight. It's a horrible. I'm going to go eat my melted ice cream. Apologize prayerfully. Apologize quickly. Apologize sincerely. Apologize humbly. Apologize. I probably need to apologize for this message. Apologize gently. Apologize repeatedly. Apologize, listen to me now, first. Then watch this. Apologize sometimes when you're not the one completely wrong. Oh, you say you're telling me the lie. No, I'm not. I'm saying that sometimes things that are wrong, especially in the marriage, you have to share wrongness. Honey, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood that. You ever ride down in the car and all of a sudden your wife says something and honestly, you didn't hear? Now it might. You're right. Now you're on board. Yeah, right. You're driving down the road and you just didn't hear her. You're trying to save her life by keeping the vehicle on the road. You've still not made up for it yet. But you're driving down the road, and man, you just honestly, and you didn't hear. Well, instead of say, and she says, well, didn't you hear me? Instead of saying, well, why don't you speak up? You just speak up. The natural human could hear you. I think you've entered into a war zone. Here's what you could say. Honey, I apologize. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you say that. I've been meaning to get this ear checked for the past 52 years. I'm going to have it checked sometime within the next 10 years and we'll be good. All right? But you don't always have to come across harsh. You could be somebody that would say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I didn't. You're sitting in your chair. If you do this at your house, you got a flat screen, your chair, her chair. She likes to serve you and get you things. Amen. Honey, would you get me some tea? She doesn't hear you. She's watching the dog on television that is the hero. And you don't have to say, woman, did you not hear what I said? Buddy, she's going to get you tea, and it's going to have something in it other than tea. But what you could say is, hey, honey, I know you wanted to get me some tea earlier, and I'd still like some of that. Oh, you say you're back paddling. Oh, yeah, but I have a happy marriage. You say, I'm a man, man. You don't understand who I am. I'm a man. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You'll be a lonely man. Now, why don't you decide that you will enter in? Hey, sometimes you have to offer up some apology. Come on now. By the way, sometimes it's good for a lady not to always open her mouth. See, now you left me again. But that was smart because, you see, if you would have said amen, your wife would have said, what'd you say amen for? That's it, Brother Sherwood. You just laugh on, buddy. You know, apologize when it's not always you're wrong. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, therefore, it says, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and remembers that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, says, and go thy way. First be reconciled, listen to it now, to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. So what are you supposed to do? All of a sudden, when you feel that things are tense, then find out and make it right. God is for good marriages. God is for wholesome marriages. Don't try to continue, well, I'm going to get my way. You may win the court battle, but you're going to lose the war. Don't do that. Learn to work together and love each other and communicate with each other. And let me give you this, and I'm done. Last point, and that is this. And we must accept and learn all we can about apologizing and forgiving. Accept and learn all that we can. I believe this. I believe in preaching the Bible. You know I do. And you know there's been times where I'll turn loose and I'll preach and I'll hit this pulpit and I'll rock this thing and I'll stand up on it. I'll give it everything I've got. But now, wait a minute. There's sometimes when there's some common sense things that we need to understand, appropriate in our lives in order to maintain good relationships one with another. I get up and some of you that hate sin and you don't have that particular sin in your life, when I preach against it, you go nuts. But when I get up and I give some practical understanding of biblical principles that you're not practicing, you don't go so nuts. But those things are vitally important in a relationship. Now here's what it says, and I'm done. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, the Bible says, even it says, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So what do? When somebody tries to hurt you, here's what you do. Number one, you forgive them. You forgive them. You always forgive them. You don't go after them. You don't try and hurt somebody just because they did something ill. Well, you know, my brother did this to me, and so therefore I'm going to get even. They talk bad about me, so I'm going to go around the church, or I'm going to go around the workplace, and I'm going to talk bad about them. Oh, no, that's not the way a Christian should behave. No, you speak good of your brother. You speak good of your sister. You speak good of that person. You say, well, they're not perfect. You looked in the mirror late, Bubba. You're not perfect either. Isn't it amazing how we have a church that's full of imperfect people? And we're all not perfect, but we can love each other the same. We can encourage each other the same. We can be there for each other in times of stress and distress and help each other. So practice forgiving. Practice apologizing. Come on, you and your husband, you and your wife grown cold towards each other? Maybe you need to find out why. You and your children grown cold towards each other? Maybe you need to find out why. You and your friends grown cold towards each other. Maybe you need to find out why. And maybe there's something you need to rise up as a good Christian and say, look, you know, man, I'm so sorry about that. I need to work on me. I need to work on me. You know, I don't know how many times with my dear wife and my dear wife to me. I don't know how many times to our children and to our children, to us. We've had to enter into the circle of saying, you know, I just want you to know I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sure and sorry about that. I want that relationship to be a good one. And sometimes you have to walk into that. You say, but they ought to be the first one. I guess it depends on the one that loves God. I guess it depends on the one that's walking with God. I guess it's depending on the one that wants to give the love. I'm telling you, in marriages in particular, you can draw a circle around yourself and put up your gloves. But that's not the way God wants it to be. In child-rearing endeavors, it's not the way God wants it to be. It's not. I wonder tonight, if all of a sudden a daddy came forward and a daddy was down here and a daddy was bawling his eyes out. Just had a burden that's so heavy, he didn't know what to do with it. And the daddy's down here bawling his eyes out. I wonder if the wife would come and put her loving arm around him and say, honey, can I help? I wonder. I wonder if the children would come and gather around daddy and say, can I help? Dad, is everything okay? Can I pray too? Can I help? Don't let things separate. I wonder if mom came down and she got on the altar and she was praying and she's got a burden. I wonder if the husband would come and say, honey, let's pray together. I wonder if the children would come and rally. By the way, there should be that type of love. You didn't hear what I said. I said there should be that type of love. There should be that type of encouragement. Come on. How do you get there? You get there by keeping that relationship sweet. Keeping it the way it should be. And apologizing where necessary, and also sometimes even to help that spouse. Father, help us tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.